Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord.
Friends, this is a promise that stretches back into the dim recesses of time, yet is as new as this very moment. When we lose our way, God searches for us until we are found. When we hurt others, God brings healing to all. When we sin, God forgives. Let us hold these promises close to our hearts as we confess those things we try to hide. Trusting in God's grace and mercy, will you please join me in saying our collective prayer of confession? Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, Jesus came to us not to reign as a king over us, but to serve us by showing us the way of God is the way of love. Jesus said that the first would be last and the last would be first. Jesus called us to become humble and serve one another, and that the most important commandment was to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the way of our sovereign. Friends, knowing that you are forgiven, go and love and serve one another, especially our neighbors in need, as Christ serves us. Amen. Relishing in this good news, let us join our voices in praise, singing the hymn, Come Ye Thankful People Come, hymn number 77, found in your bulletin online.
Come ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide, for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield, wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last in the fire the tares to cast. But the fruitful is to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Stephanie Paulsell, the interim minister of the Memorial Church, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to Sunday worship. Whether you've worshiped with us before or are joining us for the first time, please know that you are very welcome here. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. The service this morning is led by Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow and director of our Sunday school. The first lesson is read by Lauren Church, class of 2021, a student deacon in the Memorial Church, and a member of our student advisory board. The second lesson is read by Maggie Beezer, class of 2020, a student in the Harvard Medical School, and a member of the student advisory board. Edward Jones, Gund University organist and choirmaster, leads us in the hymns, and David von Baron, our associate organist and choirmaster, recorded the prelude and postlude in First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. The offertory and anthem are taken from the archives of the Harvard University Choir. We're so grateful to all who have helped to create this hour of worship. We're delighted to welcome Wilson Hood to our virtual pulpit this morning. Wilson graduated from Harvard Divinity School in 2019 and has been working as a hospital chaplain during the pandemic. Until very recently, he has been serving as a spiritual care resident at Massachusetts General Hospital and is now a hospice chaplain at Hope Health in Providence, Rhode Island. Many of you will remember that Wilson served for a time as a member of the Memorial Church staff, where he was and is very beloved. Wilson, we are so glad you are back here among us this morning, and we look forward to hearing the word you will bring us. Welcome. I'm very happy to announce that we will hold Harvard's 111th Carol Service this Christmas Eve, December 24th at 5 p.m. The members of the Harvard University Choir, under the direction of Edward Jones, have been working all semester to create this service. Carol services have been held at Harvard through times of war and plague and stress, and thanks to our dedicated musicians, there will be one this year as well. We hope you will tune in on Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. on our website or on our YouTube channel. We invite you to check our website for more information about our upcoming virtual programs, our Student Deacon Program, Mem Cafe, the Faith and Life Forum for Adults and Sunday School for Children, and our Instagram Live broadcast on Practices of Hope, which takes place on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. and will continue this semester through December 10th. We won't publish our daily newsletter next week, so that our hardworking communications team can have a little time off for Thanksgiving. We hope that you too will have some time for rest and reflection in the coming week. We give thanks every day for this community, and we are grateful beyond words to be able to worship and study and share in fellowship with you through these days. Next Sunday will mark a new beginning in our life together. It'll be the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a season of waiting and hope. We hope you'll join us next week as we take our first steps on this new journey. Our preacher will be the Reverend Alana Sullivan, Associate Minister in the Memorial Church. As we come to the moment when we share the peace of Christ among us and beyond us, we remember that cases of COVID-19 continue to increase all across the country. I invite you to turn your heart toward all those who are ill, all who are caring for those who are ill, and all who are grieving. And I invite you in the coming days to read through the tributes, names, and photos of loved ones lost in this pandemic that have been submitted by members of the Harvard community and posted on our webpage. These tributes are a reminder of the sacredness of each life we have lost and the burden of grief so many in our community are carrying. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Our offering this morning goes to the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which funds projects of local organizations that meet the needs of our neighbors, many of whom remain unhoused as winter approaches. Sharing our resources with these grassroots organizations who understand the needs of their communities and work so hard to meet them is another way of passing the peace of Christ. There's a donate button at the top right-hand corner of our homepage where you may leave your gift. Let us with gladness present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
A reading from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning at the 11th verse. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. God of all wholeness and peace, our world yearns for your presence. We call out to you day by day, wondering why we do not see you and why we feel so abandoned. And yet, time and time again, you remind us that we only need to look around us to find you. Help us to look with clarity and compassion into the faces of your children, because you are to be found right here. Loving Lord, to whom all honor is due, we give you thanks for everything you have been, currently are, and will be to us. Thank you for your gifts and blessings in our lives. Honestly, though, God, it can be hard to feel thankful right now. We look around and see that the world is not as it should be, and our lives are often not as we wish. This week we learned over 250,000 people have died from COVID-19 in this country alone. So many of us will spend Thanksgiving alone for fear of sickening a loved one. Holy One, we pray for those who yearn to feel your abiding and comforting presence. Help us to see you in the faces of those who mourn. Help us to see you in the faces of those who suffer. Help us to see you in the faces of those who are being affected by disasters, both created by humans and nature. Help us to see you in the faces of exhausted caregivers. Help us to see you in the faces of those we consider our enemies. remind us that everyone, from the most powerful leader in our nation to the most vulnerable and impoverished of refugees, is your beloved child. Fill us with a thirst for justice for all people who are abused due to their identity or social location. Allow your spirit to give us continued power to name those people and systems that perpetuate injustice and violence and abuse around the world. God, this is a season of reckoning in our country. The holiday of Thanksgiving is sacred and holy for so many of us, yet not all. Let us also remember that the story of Thanksgiving has an often untold history of deadly disease. May this season of gratitude and hope be tethered with humility and repentance. Holy One, this is so often the season when we remember seed time and harvest, bounty and want. In our worship, we wait in hopeful anticipation, planting seeds of faith and justice and compassion, trusting that we will reap your blessing upon blessing, not only for ourselves, but for all of creation. And yet, such as a time as this, it is easy for us to dismiss this hope as naive. God, grant us a hope in you and in your steadfast love that is not fickle or flighty, a hope that cannot slip through our fingers. Give us a hope that is abiding, that is resilient, and that does not let go of us. We long for the future, O God, when we can be thankful for the total fulfillment of your promises. The powerful of the world still play with our hearts. They push where they want us, shove us out, and design systems meant to benefit their wants and desires, all at the expense of those who are weak and vulnerable. Rescue us, your flock, O God, who eagerly await our shepherd, Jesus Christ, to make all things new through the power of your Holy Spirit. We are thankful this morning, God. We are thankful for your promises that sustain us when the world seems too much. We are thankful for your community when it functions as it ought to be. And we are thankful for the gifts and blessings that you have given us in our lives, especially your grace. Amen. And let us join in together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I want to begin this morning with my gratitude to Dr. Stephanie Paulsell, Reverend Alana Sullivan, the entire Memorial Church staff, and all of you out there listening for welcoming me into your virtual pulpit. Mem Church played a special role in my time as a student at the Divinity School, and it is such an honor to receive the opportunity to return and share this time with you today. Also, selfishly, I'm really glad that Mem Church decided to keep things light and breezy by inviting a hospice chaplain to speak. So on that note, I do have something I want to warn you all about up front. I've been thinking a lot lately about the end of the world. I doubt that I'm alone here. In the past year so far, we have witnessed an outbreak of a deadly pandemic, catastrophic climate-fueled wildfires, the largest mass protest movement for Black lives in our nation's history, an economic crash and rebound and crash again, the impeachment of a sitting president, an election with record-breaking voter turnout, and the looming possibility of a constitutional crisis. Oh, and don't forget about the murder hornets. Yep, remember those? Our laundry list of momentous events could go on, but it may be better for us to just stop and ask, who wouldn't have the end of the world on the brain right now? Sure, we may not let ourselves think about it for too long, but in those increasingly rare moments of quiet in our days, we can feel that insistent nudge of intuition. The world as I knew it is ending. The bad news is that our gospel reading for this morning is not going to be a distraction from all of this end of the world talk. Far from it. The bright side, however, is that we are in good company. Today's reading is an excerpt from Jesus' final discourse in the Gospel of Matthew, the last long teaching he'll give to his followers before his eventual arrest and execution. The content of the lesson is apocalyptic, to be sure, with all its talk of angels, last judgments, and thrones of glory. But we can imagine the mood among Jesus' audience in this passage was equally heavy that morning. Those gathered to hear Jesus speak would be familiar with the growing chorus of country preachers and cosmopolitan elites alike, talking openly of chaos, revolution, the end of time. Violence is common in the streets, as is rampant disease, as is the not-so-distant suspicion that everything is simply about to fall apart. It is a world in transition between ruling regimes, between generations and cultures, between all the old assumptions of the past and the uncertainties of the future. It is a threshold world, a world teetering on the brink. Sound familiar? We can imagine those gathered to listen to Jesus that morning would have had many of the same private fears and desires that we might have right now. Like us, they probably craved certainty, stability, a bright line telling them exactly what to believe and how to make it all make sense. They wanted systematic statements of faith and party platforms. Staring down the void of the future, they probably struggled to answer their children's questions. They probably felt fear deep in their bones. When we let our historical imaginations run wild in this text, we can see that, contrary to every well-meaning mass email that has landed in our inboxes since March, our times are not unprecedented. They are indeed precedented, emotionally and spiritually, even if the facts of our situation are unique. Jesus knew what it meant to feel like your world was ending, and it concerned him enough that he devoted his final meaningful public teaching time to thinking through what we should do about it. So what guidance does Jesus offer his listeners, this scared, lonely, exhausted crowd hungry for a point-by-point explanation of what is going on? Does he offer policy analysis, a scientific theory of everything, maybe advice for securing the best doomsday prep bunker at a reasonable price? Nope. He talks instead about cooking, laundry, small talk with friends and strangers. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, Jesus says. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Many of us have probably heard Jesus' words here repeated countless times. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, care for the sick and visit the imprisoned. But rarely do we remember the context in which these everyday acts of care are presented in the Last Judgment, at the end of the world. When we look at them this way, we have to ask, what is all this boring everyday life stuff doing smack dab in the middle of the apocalypse? As I was chewing on Jesus's lesson for this morning, I decided to revisit one of my favorite movies, Wings of Desire, directed by Wim Wenders. Like Jesus's lesson from this text, Wings of Desire is set in a world beset by apocalypse, both past and present. Our main characters, two angels named Damiel and Cassiel, wander the streets of a still-divided Berlin in 1987. Unseen and unheard by the many human beings they encounter in the city, and yet able to telepathically hear their deepest thoughts, Damiel and Cassiel bear quiet witness to the inner lives of Berlin's lonely mortal inhabitants. The weight of the 20th century bears heavily on the humans Damiel and Cassiel follow. The horrors of Nazi and Soviet rule are still within the living memory of the people they observe, and the promise that the world can fall apart once again seems to hang in the air. In the midst of so much uncertainty and fear, Damiel and Cassiel watch and listen as most of the humans continually respond by choosing to distance themselves from one another, to withdraw into bouts of private terror and anxious preoccupation. Mere eye contact between the humans is rare in the film, and acts of true friendliness or love are rarer still. Given all of this, we may expect Damiel and Cassiel to be focused on the philosophizing of these humans, their endless attempts to gather the facts of their lives into tidy piles of black and white answers for everything. Instead, what delights and fascinates the angels are the simple, joyful moments of human experience. Children gathered in wonder and delight at a circus. Strangers huddled together by a coffee cart on a cold night. In one scene, Damiel encounters a motorcyclist who has just gotten into an accident and is in critical condition. This dying man's world is quite literally ending. For him, the apocalypse is not a grim social or political possibility, but an immediate lived reality. Damiel lovingly holds the man's head between his hands and listens as the man speaks aloud his final thoughts as he loses consciousness, a litany of what really mattered in his life. The boathouse floating in the lake, Stromboli, the morning light, my child's eyes, the spots of the first drops of rain, bread and wine, my mother, my father, my wife. As viewers, we never learn if the man survives, but it doesn't matter. In this scene, Damiel bears witness to a truth at the heart of the film and a truth at the heart of this morning's lesson. As mortal beings who will all eventually die, every single day is an apocalypse for someone. Every death is the end of someone's world. And when it comes for us, it will be the end of our world too, both mine and yours. What really mattered at the end of the motorcyclist's world was not the fact that he had an answer for everything. What mattered instead, what truly imbued his life with dignity and divinity, was the simple, ordinary work of being human. The people he loved, the natural beauty he witnessed, the acts of kindness he performed, the meals he shared. That's it. By talking about feeding the hungry and welcoming the stranger in the same breath as he talks about the end of time, maybe what Jesus is trying to point us toward here is a reminder that none of us can weasel our way out of our world's ending when our lives end, no matter how much we might try to beat this fact back with our delusions of certainty or control. We are called to prevent suffering whenever and wherever we can, to be sure. and to engage in collective action to stop the destruction of our fellow human beings and the planet. But we can't do this work with the illusion that any of us, ultimately, are making it out of here alive. We will die. And to live with that knowledge is to know that the apocalypse is already among us and around us. What really matters is not how we will think or worry our way out of the end of the world. What really matters is how we will live into it in the meantime. In the early days of the COVID pandemic, when I was still working as a chaplain in a hospital, I received a phone call from a patient's husband. The patient, his wife of nearly 50 years, was rapidly declining from the virus, and her husband knew that he would likely be unable to see her before she died. As I stood by the glass outside his wife's pressurized isolation room and listened to him on the other end of the line, he did not tell me about the meaning of the universe. He did not present a statement of faith, a manifesto, a policy paper, a hot take on the pandemic. He didn't win an argument in the comments section. He told me instead about washing his wife's feet. He told me about humming her favorite songs, cooking her meals, tucking a lock of gray hair behind her ear. He wept and said thank you. Whether he was talking to her spirit, or to me, or to God, I'm not really sure, but it doesn't matter. In that moment, he knew what really mattered. He spoke it aloud. He shared what he had done and seen in his life spent with her. Our lives are so fragile. They always have been. We are always living on the brink, on the edge, at the threshold. Every single day carries the possibility of our last judgment. Every breath is a prelude to the apocalypse. As the philosopher and mystic Simone Weil once wrote, human existence is so fragile a thing and exposed to such dangers that I cannot love without trembling. And to this Jesus says, keep loving, even if you are trembling. Keep feeding and being fed, even as your world feels like it is spinning out of control. Keep clothing the naked. Keep calling the sick. Keep welcoming the stranger. Keep checking in. Keep loving your child and your professor and your students and your grandmother and the tired woman at the drugstore and the annoyed man behind you in traffic. Keep dancing. Keep kissing, keep making art, keep noticing the morning light, keep making your husband laugh, keep washing your wife's feet. These things matter. They are, in the final calculation, the only things that really matter. This is how our lives will be measured, and our world is far too fragile and too precious to let any single moment be wasted. So, get to work. The angels are watching. Amen.
Will you please join in singing the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, hymn number 5, found at the end of your worship bulletin online.
With ever joyful and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven. Eternal triune God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be.
As you go back out into a world that is hurting, may your deeds bring healing. As you go back out into a divided world, may your words bring renewed connection. As you go back out into a heartbroken world, may your presence bring joy. And when you feel that you aren't enough to meet the world as it is, may you stop, take a breath, and remember that you were created for such times as these. Amen.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.